welcome to A Pint of Cthulhu. Today we're playing Crucible of Aether with writer and GM Michael.
Hi, thank you all for having me on. I'm so glad to be part of the Crucible of Aether team, as well as to be on your podcast.
We're grateful to have you here, buddy.
All right. So, a quick little intro to Crucible of Aether. It is a D100 skills-based classless RPG that, as of recording, we are in playtesting, hoping to be in Kickstarter soon. You know, fingers crossed, don't know when this is going to be airing. But yeah, I am so happy to be part of this, and if everybody's ready, let's dive into the fall of Hayward House. You all stand on wooden walkways, suspended above a knotted mass of metal spun into tendrils, vines, and great cords that layer and wrap and weft around and over one another. The metal strands kaleidoscope into different hues, from the dull red of dried blood to the sheen of new forged silver. Those strands are living metal, created by the ancient civilization known as the Dactyl. Living metal made up every inch of Dactyl technology, their devices, and their long-abandoned cities, now known as Hollows. Living metal covers every inch of the landscape around you, as far as the eye can see. Or at least as far as you can see, through the smog, between the crowds, the factories, and tenement buildings of this city. For the walkway you stand on is in the middle of Queen's Court, the very political and economic center of the Empire of Odeos. It's a sprawling metropolis known by many names: New Gradar, the Iron Expanse, the Spiderweb City. The city was built more than two centuries ago, atop the largest Dactyli Hollow in the known world, stretching for miles in every direction. Queen's Court itself is also the largest city in the known world, with everyone from the wealthiest noble families to the poverty-stricken who toil in factories, forging a life in a city jerry-rigged over ancient ruins. No one has mastered the secrets of the Dactyl. People cannot even destroy these living metal structures. Instead, they build over and through and around. Wooden boardwalks thread through the city instead of roads. Houses cling to the few patches of bare rock or perch precariously over a metal landscape that seems, at times, to breathe. People only went to all that trouble for access to the most valuable of Dactyli artifacts, source cogs that spin endlessly and now power the vast clockwork factories of Empire. Hundreds of factories powered by these source cogs dot the capital, which is also the seat of power for the Ministry of Makrons, those half-machine engineers who keep access to Dactyli technology in an iron grip. Amidst all this, you have received an invitation to an exclusive salon held at the house of the reclusive Hayward family in an old money neighborhood of the city. The scrap of parchment containing this invite came by courier, or from a friend who just couldn't find the time, or wrapping a nice piece of fried fish. No matter what, these invitations seemed to be everywhere, and no one much cared. In fact, no one has given much thought to the Hayward House in some years. After all, Queen's Court is a city of constant change, and the Haywoods have fallen out of fashion these days. But the scrap of parchment piqued your curiosity nonetheless. Let's start by seeing what you all discovered about this note ahead of time. This is going to be our first skill check, which is a central mechanic in Crucible of Aether. We're going to talk a little bit about what your character is doing, and I'm going to give you a number and a skill to roll. You're going to add that number to the total on the left side of your character sheet for that skill to get your target. Then you roll a D100 and hope you roll under that target, which means you would succeed. which means that you would succeed on the check, earn XP for the check, and get a little bit of information. I am going to start with Matt here. Why don't you describe your character and what do you think you're curious about this invitation?
Okay, so I am playing Caspian Filt, the Enikian?
Enkian.
Can I say it again? Enkian. Basically a moth person, raised by a tradesman. So I'm imagining at the time probably looking over the books or something for a day's work, or maybe setting up some new stock, perhaps. Just happening across this scrap of paper and examining it, maybe with an eyeglass or something, to make out what's written on it and see if there's anything hidden about it. Maybe if there's any value to it.
Absolutely. So this is going to be your call here. This is going to be either an investigation check, sort of trying to infer the intent or meaning behind the words, or a writing check, talking about like what's physically on the page, what you can figure out about, you know, how it was written, things like that. And either of those are going to be a plus 30 difficulty with a plus 10 bonus for talking about how your character is doing the thing. I like to talk about these bonuses and penalties as the adverb of what your character is doing or anything extra that you do in roleplay. Typically, that's rewarded with a little bit of a bonus. So your choice, writing or investigation, plus 40.
So investigation and writing are both a ticked skill for me.
Yes, so that is a favored skill for your character. That means that when you level up that skill, when you rank up that skill, it will rank up more quickly, but it does not factor into sort of everyday skill rolls.
Okay, alright. Well, they're both the same, so I'll probably go for an investigation, maybe determining the paper's authenticity, the integrity, and the overall material it's made up of.
Absolutely.
Closely inspecting it to see if it's actually... what's the term? Valid or just
authentic?
Maybe a con. Yeah, authentic. That's the one.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and roll up. This is going to be a plus 40 check.
40, 50, 60, 70. That's 77.
All right, and that's your target. So you go ahead and roll a D100, and hopefully better than a 77.
That's a 15.
All right, so that is first off 3 XP in, I believe you said writing, or sorry, investigation. You said investigation.
Investigation.
Yeah, so that's 3 XP in investigation, and sort of trying to deduce what's going on behind the scenes here. You know, there's language in the invitation talking about seeking to shed the baubles of everyday life for exciting tales and journeys. And language like that, that reads like sort of the insulated naivete of, you know, the idle rich. And also what you get about the paper itself, it's high quality parchment, high quality ink, but it jumps in places as though... the ink itself is old, and you know, was partially dried out, and they still decided to write this invitation with it. It is also a handwritten letter. It was not printed on a printing press.
Okay.
Something else that you get here, it does seem to be authentic. You are sort of relatively familiar with high society as a merchant. The way that it's talking about this, it seems like there's some sort of double talk about an auction or something in some sort of bizarre way, but not necessarily selling things for money. And there's an old saying that sort of tickles the back of your mind. If you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And while you are thinking about that and how your character, Caspian, would like to approach this, Sorenjay, we're going to go over to you. Why don't you introduce your character and what you think you might have had pique your curiosity about this invitation?
Sure thing. I am playing Terhide, a Thasidean, I guess?
You got there, yep.
Which is a jackal person. And they are a member of the mob.
All right.
I think they'd be sitting back. Maybe they received this from a runner to send up to someone higher as a note. Just relaxing, chilling in a place that is not quite an office, an empty room with a nice chair and a couple boxes to put their feet up on. I think they'd wonder more about where this came from and how it was getting like, what is the motive behind dispersing them so wildly around the city?
Yeah. I'm going to say, how do you think your character would go about trying to get that information? Are you talking to, you know, fellow members of the mob? Are you, you know, trying to get contacts in the upper city? You know, how are you trying to go about this?
I think they'd, like, ask people to keep eyes out, see both how many of these are in circulation and if they can track who is circulating them.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to call this a streetwise check, again, with a plus 10 bonus, and it's a plus 30 difficulty. So that is, again, plus 40. Go ahead and roll streetwise plus 40 to try and, you know, rely on your sort of everyday person contacts to suss out what's going on here.
Okay. Oh, 16.
Awesome. Fantastic success. That is 3 XP in streetwise. So what you hear, you know, sort of the rumblings among people is this family, the Haywood family, was not well liked by the people who worked in their factories, and they did own a significant number of factories in the city. They generally didn't pay attention to what was going on inside the factories as long as they were running. But the latest heir of the family, the last heir of the family, had a reputation for pulling cruel pranks on her employees. Things like having workers compete for the, you know, air quotes, honor of serving as a factory night watchman, only to pay another worker to jump out of the shadows dressed as a monster. You know, while her friends sort of all laughed about it. Generally not regarded as a person with nice intentions or a whole lot of empathy. And something else you hear is that they apparently have started selling off their factories in the city. You know, to a mix of families. It seems like Edith Haywood is sort of pulling up her roots in the big city, as it were.
Could be a good business venture.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Might be worth looking in.
Yeah, and Kevin here, why don't you describe your character and what you found piqued your curiosity about this invitation?
Okay, my character, his name is Enoch. I am a Armedi Ranger. Did I pronounce that right?
Yep. Yes, you did.
So I'm an Armedi Ranger, and generally, I travel around and I'm hunting down monsters of the Awakening. Mm-hmm. And when I come across this message, I'm going to first probably flip through my bestiary to see if anything in the history of these monsters that I'm hunting rings a bell, or if like cross-reference to see if it makes sense with anything written in this letter or this location, and probably go from there. And if that fails, then I would just start asking around to anybody in my area.
Yeah, so as a ranger, you would sort of know that you're paid monster hunters, basically, to keep the ancient ruins that a lot of these factories are built on clear of the monsters that spawn in the ruins, because they are so valuable to manufacturing. So you might have some contacts for people that have worked for this family in the past, something like that. I'm going to say that this is also going to be a streetwise check, sort of asking around. Plus 40. So go ahead and roll that up.
So I'm looking for a 65. 10.
10. All right. Go ahead and mark down 3 XP in streetwise. So what you hear from, you know, other people who, you know, sort of operate in the same circles, is that a lot of scuttlebutt on Haywood, on Edith Haywood, basically, that she's got a real strange sense of humor and also is kind of callous towards people who are in her employment. That she, you know, is you know, willing to sort of underbid people, send them into dangerous situations, send them in without backup to try and clear out monsters, things like that. Generally, people don't have a whole good impression of her, sort of among the general populace. Although it seems like she's got enough friends in high places that her poor reputation hasn't hurt her.
Okay.
And as you're ruminating on what you would like to do with that information, Tukin, let's come around to you. Why don't you describe your character and what you might be looking into with this note?
My name is James Dallas Hamilton. I'm a no-nonsense private investigator. I'm a... Oh my gosh, if I could pull it up. Gosh, pull it up. Right, Tech True. Private investigator for the Spies Master Guild. If you guys know a lot about the lore, we helped a bunch of pirates in the past. Oh, yeah, I'm smoking a cigarette while we do this. And I'm looking into this note. It looks pretty notey to me. And I hate to say I'm a really, really bad cop. I'm pretty old. I've been, what you say, a veteran initiate, because I've never moved past initiate, even though I've been here for years. Because I'm really bad at investigating stuff. And, I'm kind of just waiting to see what everybody else does, and then going to try and play it off as my own if they kind of guess what's going on with this note. Kind of figure it out, but I'm just kind of looking at it, turned it upside down, turned it sideways, turned it back over, and I go, yeah, it looks pretty notey to me. Yeah. Just going to give this back to you. Here you go.
All right. So what do you think kind of information do you think you're trying to get out there, James?
I hate to say my mind is going about a million miles a minute because I do have horrific ADHD. What kind of information I'm getting out is like information about myself or
about this note, about the party, about the Haywoods. What do you think, you know, kind of piqued your character's interest there?
Oh, getting into this. I saw that people were investigating something, and I saw an opportunity to get on in there and, you know, try to raise my rank with the Spies Masters Guild and get a little bit higher up as then from initiate. I'm always looking for an opportunity to rise in the ranks of private investigators, even though I do a horrific job of that because I've been there for years. Quite old at this point, oldish, deadly old. If Cab was here, I would say I'm old as 37, old age of 37.
Ancient.
Ancient. But I've been with them for a long time, and I say that's kind of what goes here. And I'd say my information that I'm giving the group as I'm handing this note back is very vague and condescending. That's why I said, like, I just go, like, it looks very like a note to me, and I'm just waiting for someone to figure it out, like anything about the note, just so I can play it off as my idea and be like, that's what I thought. I was waiting for you to figure it out, you know. I do the whole time.
That is perfect. I'm going to say that that's going to be a stealth check to be sort of hovering around everybody else's investigations and just sort of finding the right moment to, you know, have your aha moment. And that's some wonderful role play. So I'm going to give you a plus 20 bonus for that. So this is actually going to be a plus 40 check. It's a little bit more difficult to, you know, sneak around a city in broad daylight. But a plus 40 stealth check here.
Perfect. Okay, so I will roll a d1. That's a 45. So is a plus 42 my stealth roll, or I'm trying to beat plus, a 40?
You add 40 to your stealth total, and then you try and roll under that, which you did, and you gain
81. Yes.
Yeah. So you gain 4 XP in stealth. as you are able to sort of catch on to the fact that there are a bunch of other people who are invited to this party, and they're very curious about what's going on there. And the thing you notice is that it doesn't seem as though there are any people in high society or people who are, like, well off and sort of popular, like socialites, who have gotten invites to this. It's kind of gone out to people who may be down on their luck or searching for something that might help them, maybe a little bit desperate in some instances. And I'm going to say, as you're sneaking around, it is the day of this salon, this party, and on the road to this sort of exclusive neighborhood, the crowds start to thin out a little bit. And not only is this an old money neighborhood, but it is an out-of-fashion old money neighborhood. A lot of the houses here are empty or not well-maintained. There's not a lot of staff. There's not a lot of crowds. And as the people walking along these boardwalks thins out, four of you sort of, you know, that unspoken social thing where it's like a bunch of strangers all realize they're sort of walking in the same direction. But with that successful stealth roll, Dallas, you are going to be able to sort of choose when you come into this conversation here, as Caspian, Turiad, and Enoch all sort of, like, awkwardly make eye contact with each other as you realize that, like, oh, we all cross the same street and we're going in the same direction.
I'm, like, trying to be stealthy in the background. Like, oh, I'm just going to the sandwich shop. Just gonna walk on by. Don't worry. Ignore me. Yeah, just do your old thing. And then just, like, peek around the corner.
Yep, yep. And what do the rest of you say as you all realize you're heading in the same direction?
I see other people are here as well.
Are you also headed to the Hayward House?
It appears so.
Indeed. Are you also fellow members of an organization?
I am a merchant of the night markets.
I'm just a simple ranger looking for monsters to dispatch.
Alright, Matt, you seriously just sound like a vampire about to suck the blood of everything in this entire group.
Oh, I mean,
kids, come to this room with
capitalism.
Love it. Love it.
I'll not suck your blood, but I'll suck your coin.
Oh, God.
That could be taken so many ways, you don't even want to. Don't even know. Oh, you're that kind of moneymaker. Okay. Very well. The night markets, as you say.
A seamstress, indeed.
Very well. Wink, wink, I get it.
I wasn't
it.
Trying to go down that route. I'm a fucking moth.
A fucking moth indeed.
It was right there.
You're making
it was right
it worse.
There.
You're just throwing it out there.
For free, even.
Oh, I'm staying silent now. Screw you guys, I'm going home.
I'm writing in my notebook, Mothman is a prostitute.
Have you seen that statue of him with the ass? I believe it.
Yeah, come on, yeah.
What? Have you never seen the Mothman ass statue?
The West Virginia. There's a statue of Mothman in West Virginia.
And he is caked up.
Yeah, he's got them cakes.
Hang on. Let me show you.
I'm Googling it, you carry on. Oh, sweet Jesus.
as you're introducing yourselves to one another, for better or for worse, you're walking up. It's a little bit of a hike, actually, as you're walking up, and you realize after a little bit, you're breathing easier. You're up on the hill, have a little bit of a view of the city, looking out over the roofs of the tenements, the roofs of the factories, and that image of Mothman's butt just popped up in my chat while I was doing that.
Getting a good look at the Mothissy.
Yeah. So yeah, the air has cleared. You're no longer choked by the smog of the city. As the road is taking you up a steep ridge, and you're about 100 meters above the spread of the the city of Queen's Court. And yeah, there's massive manor houses dotting the road around here. There's greenhouses, multiple buildings, yards, just absolute signs of extravagant wealth. And after a bit of a walk, what stands before you is your destination, the Haywood House. It's an older mansion in the red-fired brick style that was most popular when Queen's Court was first built. There's an addition to your left, which has what looks like a large kitchen, and then there's a small greenhouse to the right. On either side of the walkway leading up to the front door, really spread around everywhere here, are bird baths, statues, gargoyles that seem to be spread around with no rhyme or reason. Some are stone or marble, others are cracked in dry wood. But it takes you a moment to realize the most striking thing about this house. It actually is built to hang halfway over the cliff. And amidst all this, there's a slim figure in a hodgepodge of fine clothing who's sort of waiting impatiently and knocking at the front door. What would you all like to do?
Is there anybody else around this house, or is it just this one person?
I would say make a perception check for me. That is going to be plus 20.
So beat a 59. 29.
All right. That is 4 XP in perception. Go ahead and mark that down. What you find is there's nobody in or around the house that you can see. But one thing you do notice about first one of the neighboring houses and then the other is there seem to be people moving around just on the other side of the curtains. And something that catches your eye about one of these windows, when one of the curtains is moved by somebody walking by it or something like that, you see somebody looking out with a pair of opera glasses at the Haywood House, at your destination. So there's nobody on the street, but there's activity in the neighboring houses, sort of facing the Haywood House.
Okay. Just turn and look to everybody and just basically say, it appears our presence has garnered some interest amongst the neighbors.
Of course it will. This is a rich neighborhood. I am not rich. Neither of you look rich either. They stare.
Yeah, I already knew all this information. I was just waiting for one of you guys to figure it out.
Just popping up out of nowhere.
Like popping out of weird things, like the trash can right next to it. I'm just like popping out like, I already knew. Going back into the trash can.
Oh, you're that cop we don't even have to bail off. Nice to see you around.
Writes down, cops are crooked.
So
just writing down useless shit.
What are these with?
Is no one opening the door then?
It's just been a moment here that the figure at the front is knocking at the door, but nobody has answered it yet. No, so you still have a moment to figure out what you want to do.
Can I approach the figure and ask them, "How long have you been knocking on the door for?"
He sort of steps back and meets your eyes for a moment and looks away and says, "I've only been here for a moment. Pulls himself together. I am a guest of the Lady Haywood, and I have just been waiting here, and no one has answered the door. That's entirely normal for our high society types, right?
To leave you standing outside when you're a guest.
No. I suppose not. I'll try the door. That is normal, right? And he knocks again. And in this moment, door creaks open slowly, and a figure sort of looms out of the shadows. This very tall, balding Earl Craggan man. Earl Craggan's a sort of vulture-like. He's got a ring of feathers around his collar in sort of darned-up butler livery, bald head, liver spots, and he is sort of stooped in his posture as he leans out and says, "You knocked?"
"Yes, we appear to have been invited." Show him the letter.
Absolutely. And he says, "Ah, the guests. Come and join the others in the parlor, why don't you?" And creaks the door open and motions for you all to go inside.
Seems as though we've all come together. We should all head inside.
Of course. After you.
I do like I do like a really stupid, like trying to pretend to be stealthy, like somersault into the room. And I disappear again.
I just look at him and shake my head dismissively.
Yeah, you get an eyebrow raise out of the butler here. Yeah, so as you come in, it's kind of shadowy and immediately strikes you as dusty, like the not just like that there's dust everywhere, but that it has been kicked up and it is in the air that you're breathing as you walk in to this grand sort of hallway that is at most half lit. There's spots on the walls where you see lanterns once were. The ones that are there still, there's only two or three for this whole hallway. There's a lot of shadows. Off to your left, there's a door. Seems to be like a coat room. But in front of you is a grand column of twisting webbed strands of living metal that run from floor to ceiling at the end of this hallway at a T-intersection. You can tell this house was set up to absolutely show this off at one point. But now it's just as dusty as everything else. The floorboards are sort of warping and peeling away. There's dust settling in places.
Can I potentially roll a business check to see if I would know anything about the family and maybe like their downfall or something?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and roll a business check. I'm going to say this is going to be plus 20, but a plus 10 bonus, for an inventive use of the skill here.
Okay, so that would be...
Plus 30 total.
Plus 30. Wow, yeah. Okay. Don't think I'm going to be able to fail this then. Yeah.
All right, so you gain 4 XP in business because it was a little bit more difficult than the checks earlier, but you got a bonus for how you approached it. And what you hear is that the family just sort of slowly withered, basically. That, yeah, they own factories in the city, and yeah, they have money, but it's the thing where, like, the factory was producing something for 30 years, 40 years that, oh, people don't buy that anymore. And they just never really kept up with the times. They didn't really seem interested in the business itself, especially this generation. Edith Haywood didn't really seem engaged. That was a 4 XP in that role. Didn't really seem engaged with the running of the business. They seem more interested in whatever it is that they were doing personally and also spending most of their actual money on. The statues that you saw outside, they cost a lot of money. They were not maintained once they were purchased.
Frivolous penny spending, then.
Yes, it seems Miss Edith has developed an expensive taste, but not quite the finest to keep up with such a thing. Could always use some help. A loan, perhaps. We'd be quite welcome to give.
Yeah, so you take a moment to sort of take that all in as the butler leads you past the column towards another door. What would you all like to do?
Follow up?
Step inside?
Yeah, I'll follow along. I'm just going to, as a ranger, I'm just going to kind of keep my eyes open to see if anything looks like anything suspicious or anybody kind of watching us from a distance.
Yeah, absolutely. So you make your way to the door that the butler is motioning you towards, and you see that you are standing on the upper balcony through this door of what was once a grand ballroom. And along this upper balcony is the other side of this column, and you realize that the column itself marks the edge of the cliff. And this entire ballroom is hanging over the edge of it. It comes down a set of stairs from either side. Massive floor-to-ceiling windows where you can see the whole of the city spread out before you, as well as a little bit of the houses on either side. Most of the furniture is gone from this space, except for a couple of chairs and sofas where a few guests are sitting, sipping tea and eating little sandwiches. Or at least a few of them are. One of them, very much so, is not. As you're taking this all in, I am going to ask Enoch to make a perception check plus 10.
Okay, so 49... 27.
All right. It was a little bit more difficult than the checks earlier, so you get 5 XP in perception. You catch a little bit of movement out of the corner of your eye as you're walking into the ballroom. In one of the windows that you saw earlier, there's people sitting right by the windows in one of the other houses. One of the houses that abuts the Haywood House. They seem to have a view of what's going on in this ballroom. And they seem to be watching. They seem to be sitting and watching like an audience as to what's happening in this ballroom. The rest of you, what are you doing as you step in here?
I stealthily somersault my way into
this. do you actually want to try and be unseen?
Yes, because I got an eyebrow raise. And the only reason is because I got an eyebrow raise. I'm like, oh, gotta be stealthier than I was.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that is a stealth check. This is gonna be plus 10, but you are fully in view of everyone. So this is gonna be a minus 20 penalty.
Dang.
So this
makes
is...
sense. Makes sense.
Roll a stealth check minus 10.
Okay. That's a 97.
Yeah, you, like, as you're rolling into the room, you roll a little bit too far and, like, kick the banister, and it's, like, a big ka-thunk that sort of announces your arrival into the ballroom. You are absolutely in view of everybody.
As, like, in a crouched position, I go... Da-da-da-da-da. It's like Cecil's backing away, like, I meant to do that.
I'm gonna have so much fun with editing this with sound effect wise. Keep it going.
Oh, yes.
Well, hello. So,
are.
I'm going to go over and help pick him up and kind of dust him off a little bit and pat him on the back. Say, better luck next time.
Oh, I was about to say thank you for picking me up, but now you just made me sad.
Oh. What a dumbass.
The fine state of the place. Always a pleasure to witness. Terhide is probably going to look around for anyone who seems like they could be a physical match for her. Remembering that there's often competitions and pranks and stuff and of that nature.
Yeah. I'm going to say what you notice first off is one of the two figures sitting in the chairs is wearing armor at the moment. Chainmail armor and wearing the symbol and heraldry of a clan from the northern country of Skeldenheim. Basically, shorthand business Vikings. They are... each family has a family business, something they specialize in, and the higher-ups in the family run the business. He's wearing the heraldry of one of these clans. If you wanted to get any more information about that, it might be a perception check or an investigation check.
Or if you tell me, I could talk business with them.
I don't think I'm good at either of those, so I might leave that to them off.
Certainly. What would you like me to ask them?
Find out which family they are from.
Alright.
And what connection they have with Haywood.
Could I use business then to talk business with them?
Yeah, you could absolutely go ahead and try and talk business with them. You know, what do you walk up and say?
I ask the questions that my friend here seems to want to know. Which is...
Yeah, so he introduces himself and says, "Hi there, my name is Jorgen Sandhet. Nice to meet you, nice to meet you. I would love to talk to you about a little opportunity that I'm so happy that I'm able
Nordic
to share.
Nordic VPN.
If you try and sell me a timeshare, I'm not interested."
"Oh, no, it's nothing like that at all. You see, my clan, we've got ships and sailors in the Sea of Songs right now, catching pirates and, like, smugglers, right? And the Empress is paying us to do it. And we get to keep the cargo, too. So, like, you pay us a little bit now, and we're all going to be rich once we get things going. Like, if you give me 100 pen today, I'll give you this piece of paper, and in 2 months, it's worth 120 pen, guaranteed. Guaranteed. Little pieces of paper right here is as good as pen in your pocket. How many can I put you down for?" As he's, you know...
"Absolutely none. This sounds like a pyramid scheme."
"Oh!
Can I out-business him?"
"Yeah, yeah, go ahead and make a business check for me. What are you trying to do here?"
He's going to tell him about his great plan called Herbalife.
"Do you know what?
Have you tried Herbalife?"
"Can I try and sell him on exactly the same idea?"
"Yes.
Make him an evil salesman."
"So,
Have you tried Mary Kay?"
Yeah, so this is going to be a business check opposed by his business to try and basically out
swindle
out business the business.
Fool the fool, basically. Yeah, so this is going to be opposed. This is going to be a plus zero check here to try and sell him. Sell the salesman on something here.
Although, I have a plus 20 specific bonus to business checks. If I'm challenging to sell him his own idea back, could that not be specific?
So you get a plus 20 specific bonus to business checks. Let me just double check what the specific condition is supposed to be for those specific checks. It's going to be in the rules companion, but I'm going to say for now that I'm going to honor that, and we are going to say that you get the plus 20 bonus anyway. You also, from being the merchant, have a plus 5 general bonus. So this is going to be a plus 0 difficulty, but you are getting the plus 25 from your status as a merchant.
That makes it 69.
Awesome.
85. Fuck.
Ah, can't quite pull one over on him. As you get, you still gain 1 XP in business. You still learn a little bit from failure, but he is able to see through your attempt to sell him, like, attempt to sell him like folders for holding the stock paper that he's trying to sell him to you. So the specific ability that you have is plus 20 specific bonus to business checks to appraise, so like size things up, things like that. That would have actually been useful for the business check you did earlier to try and appraise the family's finances. But it was not relevant because you succeeded the check anyway, but you do get 1 XP in business. While this interaction is going on, the other guest that you came in with is going to come in and sit down. There's the other guest who's sitting, fiddling with something in their hands. What do the rest of you want to do?
Can I move over? You said I saw these people watching us from their own homes. Can I move over to a window and see if I can stare back at them and see if they are trying to be sneaky about it or if they're just openly staring at us?
Go ahead and give me... Are you trying to be unseen as you do this?
No, I want to be deliberate about it.
Okay, I'm going to say this is either command as an intimidate... like an intimidation thing, or it would be a perception. I'm going to call this is either going to be command as an intimidation thing, or investigation to try and suss out their reason for doing things.
I'm going to go with...
And that is going to be plus 20 difficulty.
I'm going to go with command.
Styles, please tell me you're doing this like Michael Myers.
You're
just directly staring right at me.
Absolutely. 100%. So that's going to be 63 to beat.
Yep.
27.
All right. Go ahead and mark down 4 XP in command as you like T-pose in the window.
Assert your dominance.
You see some people whisper in the windows, and somebody takes down the opera glasses and talks to their staff, who, for the moment at least, draws the curtain.
Okay.
They after that are not going to be quite so brazen about watching what's going on, but the sense you get is that they are very deliberately watching what's going on, and it seemed as though there were a bunch of people there. Like, it was they were not only deliberately watching it, but like they were sitting in chairs watching the window.
There was some
planning involved, but they are now, they've drawn the curtain and are out of sight.
Okay.
Absolutely, Michael. Yep. Myers waving. Took, what did you want to do now that you had that rather entertaining entrance to the party here?
So I want to kind of mingle, I guess. I mean, I guess in around all these people. So I'm generally showing interest, deceptively showing interest in this businessman that our merchant fellow Caspian has been talking to. I'm actually decided to show interest in what he's trying to sell, kind of ignoring what Caspian is doing. So I'm like, what was this about the business proposition? I'm actually very very interested in it. I would like to hear more about it. So I'm kind of doing it to kind of pretend like I'm now, kind of pretend like nothing happened of me somersaulting into the room and failing horrifically at doing so. Just kind of like brushing myself off and acting like nothing happened. So I'm like just faking. I'm kind of mingling with the guests in a way.
Yes.
I'm showing interest with this.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I mean, he is more than happy to talk to you after the entrance you demonstrated. And he says, yeah, so the way it works is I'm in charge for the family of selling these shares in our venture in the Sea of Songs. And basically what this little sheet of paper means that you own a little bit of our the company that we set up to do this thing where we're catching pirates. And yeah, we're gonna make so much money. We're gonna make so much money, and you'll own part of the money that we make. That's how this whole thing is gonna work. And you can even trade this to somebody else if you want the money now, and you think that they will be willing to hold on to it. It's this whole stock trading thing that we're gonna get going. It's gonna be fantastic, and you're gonna make so much money. It's just 100 pence each to get you started. Would you like to buy one?
So is it like one of those like really cool things? I'm a part of a few of them, where like you get me involved along with a few other friends, and then I get a few of my friends involved, and then you're like you're at the top, and then like we're, you know, like a trickle down effect. Is it like one of those things?
It's more of a gush, just a gush of money that you're going to be making if you invest today. Absolute gush of money coming down to you.
Oh, do you have these pieces of paper with you?
Yes, he's holding the piece of paper in his hand.
Hold the piece of paper. Or would you mind if I see it?
I'm
right in front of you. I can't exactly do anything if I'm like right in front of you, can I?
No, I suppose not. Yeah, you can see it, but he does keep one hand on it.
Oh, of course. Okay. So I just like I glance over it, but I'm also like doing a shifty eye, like looking around that he doesn't know. Like I'm like. Got my head tilted down to where he can't tell that I'm also looking around the room to see what's going on while I'm pretending to examine this photo.
Kind of see yeah. What's going
on. I'm investigating at the same time. Like, oh, that looks very legit to me. Sadly, I'll have to let the missus know, if the way my money works out, you know, she has to kind of look over it and stuff. So if I were to, spend this kind of money right now, I'd be kind of, hate to say, deep shit with the old ball and chain. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, man, yeah. But, hey, I appreciate talking, man. I'm really going to consider it, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that bit of RP covering this, casing of the room. This is going to be a plus 20 bonus to whatever check you decide to do, whether it's perception to just sort of, soft eyes take in the room, or investigation to try and, deduce something specific about what people are trying to do. Absolutely your call. And you're going to be rolling a plus 40 on this.
Well, yeah. What's funny is I have a 42 in both investigation and perception. So, okay, well.
It's just a question of what do you think Dallas would do in this situation?
I would go with perception since I'm casing the room. Just kind of looking to see what's going on. So I guess I'll go ahead and go with perception on that. That is a 73, but you said it was a plus 40?
Yeah, plus 40.
So I actually missed that. Yeah, I'm 42.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. 82, so, I mean. Yeah, 4 XP in perception. Couple of things that you notice. First off, everybody in the room who's been in the room for a little while, and also very quickly the other guest who you came in with, is occasionally letting their gaze drift up to the column and a piece of jewelry that seems embedded in the column on this side, which seems odd because there's pretty much every other decoration in this house is gone. The other thing that you notice, the other guest who you haven't spoken to, who was here already, is half machine. And a third thing that you notice now that the first time you've been able to really take in the guest who came in with all of you is that he is attempting to disguise a series of boils along his cheek and down his neck that mark him as a rot stalker. Member of a group who've been magically altered and are among the Aselians, the rat or rodent folk of the setting. Order on Mutual Aid Society Freedom Fighters. Generally out of place in a setting such as this one. And that's what you notice on that perception check, sort of casing the room and, along with the rest of your guests here. What does everybody else want to do while Dallas is getting the hard sell?
I think I'm going to find out who the guy we came in with actually is, because I don't think he told us his name.
Yeah, so you sidle up to him, and he's, you know, a little bit nervous, not making eye contact, sort of trying to keep his collar up around his neck. And he says, "Oh, hello, nice to meet you, Rodolfo." And he offers his hand in that, like, wrist turned down sort of way for, like, a very floppy handshake that is what people imagine is, like, the sort of high society polite handshake, you know what I mean? Nice to meet you, and goes to shake your hand.
Yeah, sure. Terhide will shake his hand, doing best not to absolutely crush it. And you, greetings. What job do you do? There seems to be an eclectic mix of folks. What is it that you do?
I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm looking for a new opportunity. You recognize it as entrepreneur, but he doesn't know how to say the word. He is absolutely mispronouncing it.
An ambitious thing to be, but perhaps this is not a bad place to network. Have you had any contact with Edith Haywood before now?
There's a pause before he answers, and there some sort of emotion goes over his face. It would be a check to figure out what it is before he says, "No, I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her myself, though my family has worked with her family in the past. What brings you here, if I might ask? You seem as though you're the type who might be more comfortable in one of her places of employ than her house."
That is quite an audacious thing to say. What are you implying there, friend? I'd be more careful with your words than that. I have been invited, like everyone else here. And I know well enough her games to guess at what will happen tonight. Do you know well enough to have a guess, little man?
I know her plenty well. Thank you. And a little bit of the mask slips here. There's something else going on his face, but you would... If you wanted to investigate this further, it would be an investigation check to try and suss it out.
I'm not great at that. I was wondering, could I try and push him further a bit in conversation and make it a command?
Absolutely, you could. You're already, you know, getting a little bit into it here. Yeah, absolutely.
Come now. You say you know her? We know well what she likes to do. Her jokes, her games. We see the people at the window. They watch us even when you are knocking on that door. You do well to tell me. She does like her games a little bloody, after all. And you do not forgive me for saying seem like the kind of person that could fend for himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. That's going to be a plus 20 bonus. This is a plus 10 check, so this is going to be a command check plus 30.
So 30 onto what my command is, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. 53, I make it.
All right. So that is 5 XP in command as he sort of hisses, almost growls under his breath. I know plenty about what this family is capable of. And I'm a little bit more than what might meet the eye. to somebody who only cares about what money they can wrestle out of the hands of people who have almost nothing. Yes, I know a little bit about who you are and where you come from. And I know who you've probably stepped on to get there. Just the same as she has stepped on plenty of people to get where she is. You stand on the top of others, just as she does. And he withdraws from the conversation there. He fully, like, goes and starts smiling and tries to talk to the other guest, who's sort of half machine and fiddling with something in her hands.
Nikone. I'm gonna go back to, like, the group, try and draw them away from the Viking Mick multi-level marketing scheme over there. It seems there is some resentment towards our host. I suspect the man who was knocking on the door, perhaps the rat person, they might both be of the opinion that she is not such a pleasant host to have.
Do we even know why we are here?
I have an idea. I'm not too inclined to share at the moment, but I have suspicions.
What are your suspicions, so that I can, like, you know, cross-reference him with my suspicions? So,
in short, she has pranks she likes to play for her friends. They are usually from her employers, but she has no money to employ people. She does, however, have enough money to print an invitation to the random masses. There's some sort of scary event that is going to happen. Someone dressed in a costume or whatever, and the people in the houses, they are her friends. They are watching us get scared for a night. At least that is part of my guess.
Am I able to use Divine to see if there's any kind of truth to this?
Divine is more around religion and magic, as well as sort of the ecclesial parts of society. But something around investigation would be a good fit.
I can do an investigation then.
Yeah. I'm going to call this with the plus 20 bonus from Terhide's statements here. This is going to be a plus 30 investigation check.
So 67 to beat. 23.
All right. So that is 5 XP in investigation. It seems pretty clear to you that whatever is happening in this ballroom is meant to be entertainment for the people outside. But right now, it seems like you're just drinking stale tea and eating crumbly biscuits. Don't quite get what's going to happen. And it also seems notable to you in this moment that all of the guests are seem to be somewhat down on their luck or desperate, but definitely don't have ties to high society.
It seems you have struck the nail on the head. We appear to be tonight's entertainment.
There is likely some more to it, but that is the core of the matter. Personally, I don't mind this too much. Night out, some free foods, and of course an insight into the witch's flaws.
If you count crap tea as good food.
Better than many of them will get, I suspect.
More than likely.
I'm like behind him, I'm like, just drinking the tea. Like, God, this is really good tea.
Remind me if ever you stop by my shop to show you the proper tea of life. This is just poor person's drink.
For free?
Maybe.
You seem to be my favorite friend now.
There is also an element of contest to her arrangements, usually. I suspect she'll try and pit us against each other. I don't know how. Intellect, strength, knowledge. entertainment value, perhaps. If so, I think our dear police officer there will win. But however it is, there will be some menial reward for it, more likely than not.
Oh, joy.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not a police officer. I'm a private detective. Not really a strong arm of the law. Ugh. I'm a private, as in private people hire me out to investigate.
Right.
I do wonder if we'd be allowed to leave the game now that we've entered into it.
We could always try.
We can. I feel no need to at the moment. Nothing to... For Aura, she did not care, and for her family does not care. For safety standards in the workplace, but pranks were never deadly, just annoying. I'm quite interested to see how these weak little people will scream.
So as you all are talking and strategizing, the butler comes out again, and bringing another tray of steaming tea and biscuits that seem to be old enough that they're already crumbling on the plate, and brings it down, sets it on the table between all of you, and says, "The Lady Haywood will be joining us momentarily. If I could all ask you to place your attention to the door." And he gestures up the stairs to another door entering the ballroom. Opposite the side of the balcony where you entered, on the opposite side of that balcony, on the opposite side of the column, you hear faint strands of violin music. I'm going to ask everyone to make a perception check minus 20.
I failed miserably.
Need to remember why that is.
I failed as well.
Yeah, perception is down in your physical skills.
Minus 20, you say?
Minus 20. It is quite difficult check.
Yeah, no chance.
All right. Everybody still gets 1 XP in perception. As the violin music gets louder and louder, you see pink rose petals start floating in the air as though on a breeze around the doorway. And you seem to float in time with the music. More and more petals framing the doorway, floating down towards you where you're sitting by the just off the dance floor. And after a moment, the door opens and it in just this clang of bracelets and bangles and earrings, Edith Haywood steps through and strikes a pose.